Dafchesa Madalaf, if I really would like to try and move forward. Sometimes we get disrupted. Questions from Natanya. But I'd like to move forward because really these Gemaras are Agadata and we should be covering ground quicker than we are. Because the main sugya is that we should be spending more time with the Halachic sugyas, not the Agadata. Well, in the Gemara Dafchesa Madalaf, I want to try and move forward a little bit today. It says the Gemara, we're on the third line, fourth line. Kekotan kegodol tishmun. Remember, these are the psukim that the Gemara is quoting when Yisrael revised the whole judicial system in Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is now recounting it. Therefore, there's a lot of halachas that are learned from those psukim. So it says, kekotan kegodol tishmun. There is a comparison between Kotein and Godel. Omer Esh Lakish. What does that teach us? Sheyehei chaviv olecho din shel pruta kedin shel me'o mona. It should be as important to you, a din of a pruta, as a din of me'o mona. Meaning, whoever comes in front of the dayan, irrespective of the amount of money being discussed, it should always be treated the same. What does that mean? Treated the same with regard to what? Lemai hilchasa. Question mark, with regard to which halacha? If you mean with regard to being ma'ayin, to look into the subject, umifsake, and then giving a psak, pshita? Question mark. Isn't it obvious? Obviously. Nobody in the world is going to suggest that if it's only worth a dollar, not $1 million, well, then you could just issue a psak, which is not true. Everybody understands that every case has to be judged on its merit, whether or not it is a small amount or a big amount. So why is it a big chiddush cotton kegodel? Says the Gemara, elo la'akdume. What does that mean, la'akdume? Says Rashi, on the fourth line there, the last wide line. Ilei me'le'yune be'um ifseke la'amitoi, to get to the MS din. That can't be, that's poshet. Elamai la'akdume means to give hakdoma, precedence. Bola fonecho din shel pruta. If there comes in front of you a shaila that concerns only a pruta, the chazar, and all of a sudden ubo din acher shel moneh, and then another judgment comes in front of you, and this case is discussing not just a pruta but rather a moneh, which is a huge amount. So obviously, I don't need to be told that I've got to treat them both with respect. Of course, I've got to be ma'ayin into every shaila properly. That's not the chiddush. The chiddush is Hakoidem lefonecho, hekdem lachtoich. The one that came first, he's the one who comes first, lachtoich, again, to cut, to paskin. Meaning, we do not say, oh, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Pruto, you'll have to wait aside now because I've got a more important din Torah worth $1 million that I have to sort out. No, first come, first served. And that's what it means that you're treating Godel kakotten, not with regard to how much you'll be ma'ayin into it. You'll be ma'ayin into every case the same. But rather, with regard to giving kedima, who comes first? Whoever arrives first, irrespective of the amount being discussed. We move on. Says the Gemara, it's another pasuk there, lo yisoguru mipnei ish, al tachnis dvorecho mipnei ish, ki hamishpot leiloi kimhu. What does that mean? Ki hamishpot leiloi kimhu. Look at Rashi. You're judging Leilekim, you're judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, surely you're judging Reuven or Shimon. Says Rashi, no, Ki'ilu Atodon, it is as if you are judging Umoitzi Momon and you're extracting money Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Shari Olov, Lahachzir Momon Labalo, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now be charged, as it were, with returning the money. Meaning, if the Dayan Paskin's wrong, and he tells Reuven, Reuven's got to pay up to Shimon, and really it should have been the other way around, so not only is it a travesty of justice, but the Dayan has now troubled, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to ensure that the money goes back from Shimon back to Reuven. So that's what it means. You're judging, as it were, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look back into the Gemara. The Gemara explains this. Omer of Chama bar Chanina, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following, Loi Dayom, it's not sufficient l'rashoim, these evil judges, Shenoitlim Mizeh Momoin, the noitlim lezer, they take money from one, they give it to the other, shaloi kedin, not in accordance with halacha, that's bad enough. But rather they exert me, I've now got to ensure that the money is restored to its rightful owner. And therefore, by judging wrongly, it's as if you're doing a travesty not only against the person who had to pay up, but also against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means. Ki amishpot leiloikim. V'hadovar asher yikshe mikem. Remember Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yisrael is v'hadovar asher yikshe mikem. That which is kosher. Right? So we all remember the parasha. They're all different judges. Judges for the 5, for the 10, for the 50, for the 100, for the thousands. And then he said, that which is difficult, asher yikshe mikem, that should be brought to me. Now the Gemara, as it were, criticizes, and we have to be so extra careful. Whenever Chazal make what seems like a critical remark, whether it be against, even against a Tana or a Moira, Kol Shekein against the Ovos, or Kol Shekein against Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to say it with extreme caution, and it cannot be taken on face value. So let's see what the Gemara is now going to offer, as it were, a criticism. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'hadavar asher yikshe mikem, if it's too hard for it, too hard for you to judge, then turn to me. Takrivun Eli is the continuation of that pasuk. Then bring to me." Says the Gemara, Omer Rab Chanina ve'itemer Rab Yeshio al devar ze ne'enash Moshe. For this matter, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. For which matter? What did he do wrong? He seemed to have said something which seems perfectly innocent, perfectly innocuous. You try and judge it, and if it's too hard, you bring it to me. Well, what's wrong with that? So look at Rashi. Al dovar zeh shenotal srora la'atzmoy. What's srora? Srora, position, princehood. He took, as it were, a position for himself. Why? Because he said, takrivun elai. If this din is too hard for you, bring it to me. Ooh, shehoyaloi loima. What should he have said? Takrivun lifnei hashchina, bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by saying bring it to me, it sounds like a certain element of gaiva. Now, of course, this would be hard to understand, whoever you were talking about, Kol Shekein Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the paradigm of modesty. And yet, Chazal HaKadoshim, as it were, have a criticism, and they say that by saying takrivun elai, there was a certain element of what we call srora. He was taking position, he was taking a haughty position for himself, as it were, because he really should have said, if it's too hard, you bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a minute, we'll explain a little bit more. So what was the einish? What happened? Look back into the Gemara. Al dovo ze nenash Moshe, shenema vayakrev Moshe es mishpoton lifnei Hashem. What's that talking about? That's talking about Tzelophod. So we all remember the story. The daughters of Tzelophod approached Moshe Rabbeinu, and they asked this famous question: our father died. Do we deserve an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael or not? And what was Moshe Rabbeinu's response? I don't know. And we're going to have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from that we know the whole parasha of Nachalo and Yerusha. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, Vayakrev Moshe es mishpoton lifnei Hashem. So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Ne'enash Moshe. Sheloi zocho, he did not have the zochus. They change it the side. She toimar loy or she teomer loy parshas nachalois ad shebo maiselafonov veloy yoda malahoshev. He did not have the zechus of teaching Klal Yisrael the halachas of inheritance until this story came in front of him, and he had to answer veloy yoda malahoshev, that he doesn't know what to answer. That was the punishment. Because on the other occasion, you said, if it's too difficult, bring it to me, which has some sort of element of gaiva. Therefore, he was forced to say when he came to another story that actually, to be perfectly honest, I don't know. Now, I just want to add one line. Imagine somebody who was new to Torah study would open up the Chumash and offer a comment to you, oh, I don't agree with what Moshe Rabbeinu said here. I think he should have said it differently. How would you respond? We'd politely throw the kitchen sink at him. Why? It's not our derech. Torah is not a democracy where everyone gives their opinion. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's opinion. I think he got it wrong. I would have done it differently. We understand that we're talking about people who have no hasoga whatsoever, no perception in their greatness. So the question is, so if that's the case, then why should it be different with Chazal? Why are Chazal allowed to criticize Moshe Rabbeinu? This, in this Gemara, seems to be very harsh. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yakrivu Ne'ilai, and in a minute we're going to see that it's maybe not criticism, but at this stage. And because of that, he was punished, and he had to say that, I don't know. If we were to suggest something like that, we'd be thrown out of the Beis HaMedrash, and quite rightly as well. I remember when I was in Gates at Yeshiva, I was a bocha, this is now 25 years ago. And at the end of the Zman, they always used to make like a party, small parties for the Bochum who are leaving the yeshiva, like a farewell party. I remember very, very, very clearly what always used to happen was it was a small party, you know, just the friends, and they always used to invite one member of the yeshiva staff of the Hanhola to speak a few words and obviously give praise about what a wonderful Bochum this person has been and how we miss him and how he's going to do very well, and we give him a bracha for all our success. And that was the standard surah. On one occasion, a bocha left the yeshiva, so he spoke. And he said a whole dvar Torah. I don't remember what the dvar Torah was about, but he mentioned Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the middle, he said something like, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was the type of guy who would do this and this. And I remember the mashkiach of the yeshiva, who was the member of the staff present, he made a face, but he didn't say anything. This bocha carried on speaking, and he said it again. Well, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is the type of guy that, at that point, the mashkiach stopped him. He said, I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu is not a guy. That's not the way you refer to. A guy is a very slang type thing, you know, fellow chap. Moshe Rabbeinu was the type of guy that if you'd meet, he's not a guy. Moshe Rabbeinu was a malach elokim mimal. He's not a guy. So if that's the case, how do we understand? This could be very troubling for us, very challenging. Here we have a Gemara that seems to be doing exactly what we're always told you're not supposed to do, which is criticize Moshe Rabbeinu. So much so, by the way, that there's a famous story, I don't want to go into the whole story now, that's quoted by one of the commentaries to the Mishnah. It's called the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael has a whole famous story with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, and there was a painting of him. And the bottom line is that the story is quite critical of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because of that, there are some people who, as a matter of principle, do not study the commentary of Tiferes Yisrael. How can you possibly quote a story that offers any criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the question therefore becomes, that's very valid, we understand that, that's where we've always been taught, that's where we've been educated. So how do we understand the Gemara like the one we just learned? Moshe Rabbeinu said that if the question is too hard, bring it to me. Oh, sounds a bit haughty, that's why he got punished, and he had to admit that eventually I don't really know. How can Chazal say that? The truth is, we're going to see in the next line, the Gemara backtracks, but the Gemara definitely suggested it as a havamina. So the way that we can begin to understand it, and even then, Rabbeisa, we have to be so careful, and I would not feel at liberty to share this with you were this to be a different type of crowd. Because if this is misunderstood, we can all understand terrible danger of people mistreating and disrespecting Chas v'Shalom people mentioned in the Torah. But for us, B'nai Torah, the way that we can begin to understand this is as follows. Chas v'Shalom, Chas v'Shalom, Chazal HaKadoshim have no right and have no business and no interest in offering a criticism of anybody in the Torah. However, over here, Chazal HaKadoshim are just connecting two dots, as it were. They're connecting the dots. Moshe Rabbeinu is approached by the daughters of Tzelofchad. And he's asked a question, and very bizarrely, Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, I don't know, which seems highly peculiar. He's the manning of Klal Yisrael. Moshe kibol Torah miSinai. How is it that he doesn't know? That's a very challenging question. So Chazal HaKadoshim, Barov Chochmosom, understood that over here you have to connect two dots. That apparently Moshe Rabbeinu having to say, I don't know, is really closing the circle on when he once said, if you have a question which is too hard for me, you can bring it to me. In other words, Chazal are not merely offering a criticism. Rather, they're working backwards. If you see that Moshe Rabbeinu got a punishment, then it must be that even on his very lofty level, there was some element of Avera. So Chazal connect the two dots for us. So they're working backwards. After you see the punishment, then you go backwards and you work out where the Avera was. But not forwards. Chazal did not look at the first parasha and say, oh, strange, and Moshe Rabbeinu should speak like that. I don't think that's correct. Chas v'shalom. Rather, when they saw the punishment, and they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was not worthy, as it were, of being able to be teaching the halachas of inheritance, and he had to admit that, I don't know, one second, there's a punishment over here. So we need to work backwards and say, well, if there's a punishment, where was the Avera? Where's the Mido Keneged Mido? So Chazal and only Chazal are allowed to say, the Mido Keneged Mido, it must be traced back to the time when he said, oh, you can bring any Shaila to me. Like I said, were this to be a different crowd, were we learning in a different Chabura? If this shir was being said to beginners, then I would not feel at liberty to say that. For obvious reasons, because then it opens a whole can of worms. Oh, well, if they can do it, then I can also do it. So I would interpret it differently. Maybe the Aveiru was this, maybe the Aveiru was something else, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. But we are b'nei Torah, ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, that Moshe Rabbeinu is on a level that we have no perception in, and we leave that to Chazal. We leave that to Chazal. Now, have a look at the Gemara, because the Gemara anyway is going to backtrack. But like I said, even though the Gemara backtracks, even a hava amina, even just an initial thought, just a suggestion that there was an avera on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, that also needs explanation, even if eventually we fall away from it. So the Gemara says, Maskiv lo Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok says, one second, Miksiv. Va'ashmiachem? Does it say the word va'ashmiachem? When Moshe Rabbeinu said that if any shaila is very difficult, bring it to me. How did he carry on that sentence? Did he say, bring it to me va'ashmiachem and I will teach you? That, I admit, has some element of haughtiness to it. Bring any shaila to me and I will teach it to you. But he never said that. What did he say? Veshomativ, quote unquote, ksiv.
So let's see. What's
What does the shamati mean? He didn't say, I will teach you. The shamati means, and I will listen. What does it mean, I will listen? E gamirna, gamirna. If I've learned it, I've learned it. V'iloi, azlina v'gamirna. And if not, then I'll go and learn it. So to the contrary, to the absolute contrary, that which you are interpreting as Moshe Rabbeinu having slight element of gaiva was the opposite. It was a very, very modest statement. What was he saying? That if you have a shaila, which is very difficult, bring it to me and I will listen. He didn't say, and I will teach you. What does it mean, and I will listen? I listen to the shaila, and if I've learned the subject, then I've learned it. I'll be able to pass. And then if not, then I'll make it my business to go and learn. So to the contrary, he was being very, very modest. So how can you come along and criticize and say, that was an element of gaiva, as a result of which he was not zeicher to teach the halachas of Yerusha? Can't be. There was no element of gaiva. Well, if that's the case, then once again, we have to work backwards. So why indeed did the parasha of the Nachalois come through the daughters of Tzelofchad? Why did we need the whole story of the Bnei Tzelofchad? Why don't we have a parasha in the Torah in which Moshe Rabbeinu simply says, "Moirai v'raboisai, here are the halachas of inheritance"? It didn't happen. It all happened through the daughters of Tzelofchad. Why? So until this point, we understood, because it was a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu, that he shouldn't be zeicher to teach it. And he had to say, to be quite honest, I don't know. But we've just established that there was no Aveira in the first place. So the question comes back. So why was he not zeicher to teach the parasha of Yerusha? Says the Gemara, Elo, our favorite word, Elo. So we have to backtrack. Kedetanya, as is stated as a brisa. If you want to know the answer, you'll find it in a brisa. Re'uya, parashos, nachalois. Really, it was appropriate that the parasha of Nachalos, meaning inheritance, shetikose validei Moshe Rabbeinu. Really, it should have been written through Moshe Rabbeinu, just like every other parasha. By Dabar Hashem al Moshe Leimoyer, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what he taught to Klal Yisrael. The same should have been also with Nachalos. So why did that happen? Why did that not happen? But rather the daughters of Tzelofchad were Zoicha, the Nichtov Al Yodon, and it got written through them. Now, I'm not sure if Art Scroll explained this. Does it explain, Rabbi Yosef, why it was written through them? What does it mean they were Zoicha? Why were Benois Tzelofchad Zoicha? What do they do to have this Zechus? Do they explain?
There's a note, wait a minute. They cherished Eretz Israel. And
the Rashi,
otherwise righteous.
It's Rashi, isn't it?
The Rashi, Rashi Pashas, correct. Rashi and Pashas Pinchas points out, do not think that they were requesting a land in Eretz Israel merely because they wanted to have property. They wanted to expand their estate. But rather it was Chavivos for Eretz Israel. So the Gemara is saying, essentially, the parasha of Nachala should have been taught through Moshe Rabbeinu, just like every other parasha in the Torah. And why was it not? Why was it that the daughters of Tzelofchad, they were the ones who get mentioned over here? Because as a reward for the fact that they cherished Eretz Yisrael. By virtue of the fact that they had such tremendous chavivos for Eretz Yisrael, and they so desperately wanted the land, not just in order to increase their income, because they wanted to have the great zechus of owning land in Eretz Yisrael as a reward. That's why they get mentioned in the Torah, and the whole parasha of Nachala comes about through them. So it turns out it was not as a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not that it was taken away from Moshe Rabbeinu as a punishment, but rather it was given to the daughters of Tzelofchad as a reward. A reward for what? For their displaying of Chavivos of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara in similar vein, Re'uya Hoysa Parshas Mekoshesh. So we all remember the parasha of Mekoshesh, which is of course very much connected, because some say that the Mekoshesh was Tzalafchot. So we all remember the story. The Mekoshesh gathered the wood in order to demonstrate for Klal Yisrael what happens if you're Mechalel Shabbos. And what happens when he was? So it says there once again, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. He had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Skila. So once again, we have a similar theory, a similar theme. Why is this parasha being delivered, as it were, through the whole story of the Mekoshesh? Why does the Torah simply not say that Moshe Rabbeinu one day got up and told Klal Yisrael, Meirai v'Raboisa, you should know that whoever's Mechalel Shabbos gets Skila. Why does the Mekoshesh get this mention? Says the Gemara once again, Ru'uya hoisa parashas Mekoshesh etikosev alidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Essentially, the parasha of Mekoshesh should have been written through Moshe Rabbeinu, just like every other parasha in the Torah. Elo, shenischayev Mekoshesh, v'nichdeva al yodoi. The Mekoshesh was chayev, chayev misa, and it got written through him, l'lamedcha, shemegalgalin choyva alidei chayev, v'zuchus alidei zakai. Rabbi Yosef, how do I scroll, explain this line?
To teach you that harm is imparted through one who is guilty, and zechus and merit al yidei zakai, through someone who is meritorious.
Okay, so they probably have a footnote over here there as well.
No, actually, there's no. Wait a minute. No, no. Well, there's yes, it's about the incident of the Mekoshesh.
Mm-hmm.
The exact nature of his aveira is a matter of dispute.
Correct.
It's Shabbos. Right. However, it's clear that it involved a desecration of Shabbos.
In other words, the Mekoshesh mention in the Torah is not exactly a mention of honor. It's no great zechus to have mentioned, have your name mentioned in the Torah for being Mechalel Shabbos. The Gemara is saying precisely that's the point. Harm, something negative like stoning, skila, is brought about through somebody who deserves a dishonorable mention. So for the very fact that he was Mechalel Shabbos, to the contrary here, it's not a reward. It's an einish. For the daughters of Tzalafchad, it was a reward because you had such tremendous chavivas for Eretz Yisrael. That's why the parasha of Nachlois will be written all about you. And the Mekoshesh, it was opposite. Choyv aledei chayv. Choyv aledei chayv. Okay, we move on. Says the Gemara. Ksiv. It says in the Torah also there, the beginning of Parshas Devarim. Va'atzava es shoifteichem bo'esahi. And I will command the judges at that time, v'ksiv v'atzava eschem bo'esahi, and I will command you at that time. Look at Rashi. Ksiv, on the one hand, v'atzava eshoifteichem mashma eschachmeihem, hizhir lahadrich tzibur b'mishpatei achukim al korchom. On the one hand, it sounds like that there's a warning over here to the Chachomim, that they should teach the Tzibur, all the Halachas and the Mishpatim and the Chukim of the Torah. But then it says, V'ksiv v'atzava eschem, the Tzibur atzmon hizir, u'ma hutzruch laziron. So who actually taught the Tzibur all the Halachas? On one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I warned the judges. On another place, he says, I warned you. So who actually taught? If Moshe Rabbeinu actually taught the Halachas to Klal Yisrael, so what was he warning the judges about? Back into the Gemara. Omar of Simloi, Azhora Letzibur. On the one hand, this is a warning to the Tzibur, Shetehe Emas Dayon Aleyen. It's a warning to the Dayon, to the Tzibur, very important Gemara, that you should have fear of the Dayon. When you approach a Dayon is not just a person that you are using, Chas v'Shalom. Rather, we're talking about the greatest Talmidei Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael, and you have to have Eimo. You have to be in awe of them. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was warning them. You have to realize, treat the Dayanim with respect, be in awe of them. On the one hand. On the other hand, Va'azhore le Dayon sheyisboil es ha-tzibur. So Moshe Rabbeinu was warning the Tzibur and he was warning the Dayon. What was he warning the Tzibur? You should have fear of the Dayon, you should be in awe, respectful of him. And what was he warning the Dayon? Sheyisboil es ha-tzibur. What does that mean? Sheyisboil es ha-tzibur? You should bear, you should be patient with the Tzibur. People will approach you who are not Talmidei Chachamim. You have to be patient with them. To what extent? Ad kamo. How patient must the Dayan be with them? Omer Rav Chanon v'itemer Rav Shabtoi, as it says, Ka'asher yisa ho'oimein esayenik. Moshe Rabbeinu said, like the nurse carries the young child. No mother gets bored or impatient of her baby. So too, that's the way a leader has to treat his congregants or his followers or his nation or his community. Literally, you have to carry them like a nurse carries the baby. That's how patient you have to be with them. So, okay, we have to hold it over here. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. We'll continue tomorrow. Baruch Hashem, we covered ground.
Oh, have a good day.
You all have a good day, everybody.
Well, too.